Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you on Sunday evening, September 16, 2007. It's about 8.01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you're expected to do more than just listen, you are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, self-serving federal government starves us of our freedom, our liberty, our rights, and our property. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast this evening, we will not have a call-in number. We lost that number this evening, and we will be getting it back in future broadcasts. In fact, plans have been made to ensure that this does not reoccur. So we apologize for that. If you wanted to send an instant message to us during our live broadcast, you can do so. Our AOL Instant Messenger or AIM number is STB Internet Radio. That's really for Star of the Beast. STB Internet Radio, and that's our online AOL Instant Messenger number. At any time, of course, you can send comments to your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com, and we'll try to respond to those questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio, with the exception of this broadcast. This is where our problem was, and our telephone line is through them. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two, so it's mytwocentsonline.com. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Also listen to his commentary on blogtalkradio.com/mytwocents. And especially today, we're going to be talking about some of the items that Andy brings up in his broadcast. I don't mean to steal his thunder, but he brings out some good points, and it really melds very well with what we are talking about. Okay, very good. Well, now on to our broadcast. In the past couple of broadcasts, we were talking about the financial crisis, the credit crisis. This is not meant to be a financial program per se, but let me reiterate one thing. The reason we are talking about the credit crisis is because the money that we all possess, that we use to exchange for goods and services every day, is subject to change by the whims of the federal government. When you have an external force, such as especially a federal government, a government, any government that is, that controls the money supply indirectly, by the way, they don't even control it directly, it's controlled really by the money changers that are non-governmental. So when you have a situation such as we have today, the money that you have can change its value. And that's exactly what is happening today. Now, the reason why I bring up on Liberty Talk Radio is because if you earn something from your efforts and you in exchange receive Federal Reserve notes for that exchange of services and for your efforts, and someone can take that away or change the value of it, that affects your liberty. That's where I'm coming from. This program is about your liberty. Very, very, very few people even recognize that could even possibly happen. The average person would have no concept of what I am talking about unless they've listened to this program. I can't start from scratch, but I'll try to summarize and then get into the program. What we talked about in prior programs is that the government wants to make certain that we do not understand the system, because if we understood the system, we would in fact be rioting in the streets now. Even the little old ladies and men, they'd come out of their nursing homes and they'd be rioting in the street if they knew exactly how our financial system worked. Herein lies a problem, because we have government schools. Government schools dictate what is taught. No one is taught about the Federal Reserve, and if they are, they refer to it as the Federal Reserve Bank, which helps control the vagaries of the economy. You know, the interest rates and the unemployment and things like recessions, and that's a lot of bunk. That was a sales pitch for it. The Federal Reserve is owned by a cabal, a group of people who are the big money changers of this world. We're talking about the J.P. Morgans, Rothschilds, the Warburgs, the real big money people of the world. They control our currency. And you can read anything, anywhere, any place, and you'll find this to be fact. This is not conspiratorial. This is fact. I don't talk conspiracy on this program. I talk only historical fact. This occurred in 1914. They took control of the money supply. Even Woodrow Wilson had, in a speech, and I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but I did have it and I cannot find it, but basically he said he perpetrated one of the worst frauds on the American people as president, and the country will never survive this, and he was absolutely correct. And ever since we had the Federal Reserve that was supposed to moderate all of the ups and downs of the economy, thereafter we had loose money situation in the 1920s, then we had followed by a depression in the 1930s. And the only way they can get out of that, they thought, is by getting involved in a war in Europe and printing a hell of a lot of money and getting off the gold standard. Well, we won't get into all of that, but I just want to set the background for it. Now, our money, it should be ours, and it should be worth something. And that worth should be based on the marketplace, of what we contribute to the marketplace, what the marketplace gives back to us, and what we are willing to exchange for it. Not that a governmental agency says you can use this as a medium of exchange, and this is the only thing that you can use as a medium of exchange, and we will dictate how much that money is worth. Now you say, well, what do you mean how much is worth? A dollar is worth a dollar. Okay, let's go back to 1950. If you had a dollar in 1950, is it worth the same as today? Well, no, it's only worth, what, 90, a fraction, just a few percentage of what it was worth in 1950. So you see, the money is not worth the same. My point being is that if tonight the Federal Reserve decided to print twice as much money and just issue it to everybody, issue it to the throughout the banking system, every dollar in your pocket would be worth one half the amount. So every dollar would be worth 50 cents. You would lose one half of all of your worth. If you had all your worth in dollars, all your net worth in dollars, you would be worth one half. If you were worth $1 million and you woke up the next morning, you'd be worth $500,000. That is encroaching on your freedom and your rights. That is wrong. This is the system we have now. Now you say, well, that doesn't happen, but it happens in other countries. Tanzania, I think it is, or Zimbabwe, they're having inflation of 4,000% a year. People, because they just print money as we do. Now, we don't have that situation here, I admit. Our inflation rate is somewhere around 3 or 4%. But the same thing holds true. If every year the dollar is inflated by 3 or 4%, that means it's worth 3 or 4% less than it was the year before. So, in fact, it's a hidden tax. I'm just briefly summarizing what we talked about before so you can get up to speed with us on this program. So we have a hidden tax, which is known as inflation, and we say, well, it's under control. And the Fed is trying to put it under control. Well, the Fed can't put it under control because the Fed is the one that creates the inflation. You cannot. It is impossible to have inflation without printing more money tonight for tomorrow than you had the previous day. That is not possible. If there was a fixed amount of money in the money supply, in circulation, prices could not go up. Maybe a price of one item would go up, but since the amount of money available is fixed, that means the price of something else has to go down. So on average, everything remains the same. I hope you understand that inflation is caused by the Federal Reserve printing excess money. Money in excess of how of the growth of the economy. And now, and every time there's a war, folks, every time there's a war or a conflict, governments abandon all financial responsibility. And they start printing money like crazy to finance the war. Now, back in the good old days, and then by the way, folks, there were no good old days. There absolutely were absolutely no good old days. Okay, people say the good old days. I say, oh yeah, World War II was the good old days. That was great, right? Well, how about a time when we didn't know that a virus caused so many diseases and killed people, and we had no idea? Those were the good old days. Let's go back to the Dark Ages, the good old days. Well, how about World War I, where hundreds of thousands of people were thrown on the battlefield and just got shot and blown up for, you know, in droves. You know, those were the good old days. How about when Europe was absolutely in turmoil and everyone was killing each other? Good old. There are no good old days. We have to make whatever we have today is probably the best of what we have ever had, but we have to make it better in the future. And what is happening to our financial situation here, our whole financial structure, is that it is crumbling. It is crumbling at our feet, and we don't realize it. The average person has no concept of what is going on. Someday they will wake up, turn on the TV, and they'll hear something to the effect that there's been a financial crisis overseas, blah, 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 and the American dollar, blah, 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 in order to counteract that, blah, 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 and that means we are going to lose our shirts, and we better be prepared for that. Now, we better be prepared not only for a dollar that is going to sink in value further than it has ever before, and it has. By the way, did you know that the dollar was on a critical list, and that critical point was if the dollar reached 80 cents to the euro. They said once it goes below that, they said the dollar will be in critically bad shape, and we can expect rapid price inflation worldwide because people will stop dumping dollars. Well, folks, last week it went to 72 cents to the euro. And just a few years ago, it was $1.40. So it is about one half of what it was worth against the euro just a few years ago. Now, a lot of things have contributed to that. Our military spending, our social spending, government intrusion into everything in our lives. And they have to pay for that. And they pay for it by printing money out of thin air and keep on inflating the money supply. And let me say this, for all of you Clintonites out there who thought that, you know, economically he was a godsend, and he wasn't all that bad compared to George Bush. He wasn't all that bad, believe it or not. However, during his reign, they say, well, inflation was only 3% or 4% a year. Do you know during the decades of the 1990s, you know, which he was the one that reigned during that period, the dollar lost 30% of its value? How about that? 30% of its value got lost during a reign where we thought there was literally no inflation whatsoever. And there was. It's like the proverbial frog in the cool water. Turn up the heat just slightly. He stays there. Gets a little warmer and warmer until he fries. He never jumps out. That's exactly what we are doing, holding on to our dollars. Now, people are retreating from the dollar. They're trying to shed dollars. They're trying to divorce themselves from the dollars. And they're trying to diversify, holding other currencies, such as the euro, such as the Swiss franc, so that they have fewer dollars and less exposure to a dollar that's sinking. Now, one of the reasons why we have a rapid price in oil, oh, by the way, oil is now, as you know, around $80 a barrel. I think it closed at $79.43. I believe that's the number on Friday evening, right? So it eased off a bit. You know, but it did go over, I think it went as high as $80.19. Someone can call, write me and tell me I'm wrong, okay? But that's about it. All right, a little over $80. Right. And it will continue to do so. And the reason for that is that oil is pegged on the dollar. So people who buy oil buy it with U.S. dollars. Well, the U.S. dollar is worth much less than it was 10 years ago. Or 5 years ago, much less. So do you think they're going to take the same number of dollars in exchange for a barrel of oil? Absolutely not. I mean, they're not stupid. You see, the oil-producing nations produce oil and typically very little else. So when they take that oil money, they need that money in order to purchase goods and services. Now, I've said this before, and you're tired of me hearing this. They need our toilet paper more than we need our oil. And there's a truth to that. We don't need OPEC oil. We can get it someplace else. There are other places we can get oil. We may have to pay a little bit more, but we can get oil. There's no shortage right now of oil. There's a shortage of refining. Now, we are getting into a point of shortage because now everybody's about stretched. And we only get, I think, 17% of our oil from the OPEC anyway. We get most of it from Canada and Mexico. You never hear that on television, do you? We only get a very small percentage from OPEC. And yet, that's where we send our troops, and that's where we spend all our money. And that's another story altogether. My point being is that people are complaining about the price of oil, and we should do something about it. Well, if you want to do something about it, it's very simple. Tell the government to stop printing more money and debasing the money supply. If they stop debasing the money supply, the money would be worth the same amount, and the price of oil would moderate. Now, it would moderate, or it would change depending on the risk involved, political situations, you know, especially in our case with our soldiers in Iraq. That's creating tensions in the Middle East. So the world is kind of nervous, and when the world gets nervous, the prices go up. It's a matter of risk. That's all. Now, all of this comes out to economics 101. You don't have to be a MIT graduate to understand this stuff. But it does require that Joe Sixpack, the average person on the street, the average person, I call men and women, is to read good stuff. Stop reading what my friend Andy Sutton calls the alphabet soup news. That's ABC, CBS, and NBC. What we need to do is go offline and get on the internet and get news from other sources. Now, there is a lot of garbage on the internet, tons of garbage, and a lot of it is misleading. But go to things like the Future of Freedom Foundation, or the Foundation of Economic Education, or how about the American Institute of Economic Research, or how about the Cato Institute? If you're here in Oklahoma, how about the Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs? I mean, all of these organizations are legitimate organizations that have a tie-in to no political structure and to no corporations. They take nothing but no donations from no one other than those people who subscribe to their newsletter or to their services. And these people are good. And there's a host of others. Look at my website. You see many of the links there. Now, we are reading the wrong stuff. We don't know what's going on. Someday we're going to get up and going to realize that our money is becoming more worthless than it was before. And it's going to be worldwide panic. And I want to read you a couple of things. Black Gold Rush. This is from... I don't even know which this is from. This is from the New York Post. It says here, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson told in a meeting of bankers the stock market and credit turmoil would take some time to be resolved. Oh, and let me say this. I want you guys not only to read the information from the websites I just mentioned, but also go to mytwocentsonline.com. And that, too, is a numerical two, mytwocentsonline.com. The reason being is that I don't want to steal Andy's thunder because he does an excellent job. And subscribe to his newsletter. His newsletters are excellent. They're succinct. They're clear. They're for the average Joe Blow like me, who's not too smart, you know, who's not an economist. And he is. You know, he's got all the degrees and he has all the credentials to go with it. I don't. But what it does give to me, it gives me an appreciation for my understanding of what I do understand, at least. So I do suggest that you subscribe to mytwocentsonline.com and get the newsletter from Andy Sutton. Now, the only reason why I'm bringing up what he's talking about is because what he's talking about has a direct effect upon our liberties. And I'm going to hammer this into everybody. I hammer it until someone says, you know, there may be something to this thing. And maybe that Joe Cristiano is a crackpot nut, you know. But let me look into it before I write him off. And please, don't take my word for it. Take the word of the experts. And I don't mean the head of the Republican or Democrat Party. I'm talking about independent think tanks. All right. And what they say here, after a brief hitting the trade at $80.18, crude oil closed at $79.91, up $1.68 a barrel. The retreat below $80 didn't ease worries about higher energy costs taking a deeper toll on consumers and businesses alike. And it says this winter, at these levels, they'll be paying $5,000 a year for heating fuel when people right now in the Northeast are paying between $2,000 and $3,000. They said crude heating oil is going to get hit really hard. Well, what's that going to do to people's discretionary income? It's going to go down the toilet. Once that goes down the toilet, we're going to have a recession. Once we have a recession, the government's going to want to get us out of the recession. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to print more money. And what they're going to do is debase the money supply further. I want to read to you a short column, a short item from the my2centsonline.com. And I do recommend that you subscribe to his newsletter. And he talks about the current credit crisis. And we won't get into the current credit crisis, but basically all that did was they printed money, gave it to people that couldn't pay back, built houses. Houses are going on the market. The real estate's going down. And then everything follows through with that. You know, when they stop building houses, they stop needing nails, wood, cabinets, you know, all sorts of supplies, glass. Every industry is affected. And he says here, but what could a little guy do? He says, and I'm just paraphrasing, by the way, this is much longer than that. They do not need to understand their government's arsenal to fight this mess that they in part created consists entirely of weapons. I'm sorry, they do need to understand that the government's arsenal to fight this mess that they in part created consists entirely of weapons of cash destruction. And I love that term. Andy, I love that term. Consist entirely of weapons of cash destruction. Remember, the Federal Reserve is destroying our cash. This bailout will result in confiscation of wealth, savings, and investment alike. History tells us time and again that the savers are the ones who always pay for the profligacy of the masses. And I guess profligacy means recklessly extravagant. And what he's saying is that even those people who are prudent, who put their money away, they suggest, you know, put it away and save your money. Those are the people that are going to get hit, because if they have a large amount of cash away, that cash will be rendered a little bit more worthless than it was the day before. And it was really interesting. And I may have said this last week. If I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But you know, I received a statement from a company that I used to work for. I had a 401k there. And they said, well, now that I'm approaching 65 years old, they wanted to let me just alert me that my money was all in the wrong place. I should be, you know, in cash and in bonds. Well, folks, the last place you want to be in today's market is cash and bonds. But that's all they do. They follow this formula that was somebody designed back in 1923, I think, and then they're still promoting it. How dumb. I have my money in foreign markets. I have it in oil. I have it in energy. I have it in precious metals. I don't have it in cash. My God, I'm furthest from cash that you can find. I'm pegged to oil. You're pegged to oil. Oil's going to go up. Cash is going to go down. It just give you an idea how bad it can be out there and how you got to be careful. And he talks about the things that you should do. He says, live a simple life with simple pleasures. Tune into alternative media sources for important information, like I talked about, from cash to trash. And he's talking about the money buying less and less. Own real assets, and he says, including gold. Cut petroleum consumption, which is going to be difficult for many people, and exit the U.S. dollar. Excellent article. I recommend it to you. Here's another article. This is the one that talks about the euro and the dollar. The euro closed at 1.392 cents to the dollar, and the dollar is like 72 cents. Folks, we have to realize that the United States that we have imprinted in our own minds, the United States of America, which was infallible, which is strong, a superpower, an empire, is falling apart. Now, it may not fall totally apart, and it may never fall apart in my lifetime, but it is falling apart. And it is wise for us to take heed right now, because when the government has control of our money, when they have control of our money and they can dictate how much that money is worth by printing money out of thin air, then and only then do we have a problem. At one time, we had a gold standard. I mean, you know, a couple of programs ago, I talked about where if you had a dollar, you could have exchanged that dollar for 100 pennies. That 100 pennies were made of 95% copper, and copper had a value, a market value, and it was worth actually a penny or more. So you actually had something of value, and no one could take that away other than market conditions. And that's just life. We all risk that. There's nothing that can do anything about that. And then, of course, the nickel had nickel in it, and which it still does, by the way. Nickel is the only one that's still valuable. Nickel has 75% copper, 25% nickel, two metals which are in high demand today and increasing in value. The dime has lost all its value. Now it's made out of junk metal. The quarter is made out of junk metal. It used to be made out of 90% silver. Half dollar and the dollars are the same way, the coin dollars. Everything that's being minted today is garbage except for the nickel. So, you know, we've debased our currency, and we are going to stop producing nickels of 75% copper, 25% nickel in the near future. There was an article in USA Today that was going to advising us the government's just going to kill it. I don't know the exact date. So if you want money for the future, why don't you save your nickels? You know, too late to save your pennies and dimes, nickels and quarters unless you buy them. In fact, if you go into a coin store and ask to buy a half dollar now that was minted prior to 1965, you'll pay about $5.50 or $6. Think about that. Something that cost 50 cents now cost $10 to $12 as much. $10 to $12 more, times more. 10 to 12 times more. What does that say about the dollar? That's where we're going. Unless we wake up to that, we are going to be left holding the bag. We are going to be the ones that are going to suffer this financial crunch. We are suffering the financial crunch now, folks. Our earnings really are not going up. When you receive a raise of 3 or 4 or 5%, you're barely keeping up with inflation. You're not making anything. And unless you can invest it in equities or in metal or in oil or something like that, get out of this the normal mode of investing, I think we're going to be real losers if we just do that. Well, all right, our time is almost up. We've been broadcasting for 28 minutes and 10 seconds. And this is a 30-minute broadcast on a Sunday evening. This is Liberty Talk Radio. My name is Joe Cristiano. I hope you enjoyed tonight's broadcast. I don't know how you can enjoy it. It's all doom and gloom, isn't it? Unfortunately, everything I read is doom and gloom. No matter what I pick up and go, geez, yeah, that's what we should be doing, but we're not doing it. And it's a real sham, these debates. It's absolutely unbelievable. I watch them just because I have a radio program and I need to be kept informed, and I find them sickening. I can't stand them. The only person worth voting for is Ron Paul and maybe Mike Gravel. In fact, I like both of them. One's a Democrat, one's a Republican. I like both of them to run together, president, vice president, you know, and go for it, you know. But, of course, all the other people in the parties, they all call them crazy nuts, you know, wackos and stuff like that, and they're not. They're the only ones telling the truth. That's why they're saying that. Okay. I had something else here. Here's something interesting. A British bank, I think last Friday, lost 31% of its value. And that someone's looking into that. It had to do with some puts on the market. But apparently that had a big shakeup in London. And we're going to see the effects of that maybe next week. So we'll find out about that. But remember, if someone else has control of the value of the money that you've made, in other words, has control over what your efforts are worth, you have lost your freedom. We should have a money supply that is totally divorced, totally separate from the U.S. government. Government should have nothing to do with our money supply. We'll talk about that next Thursday night, Thursday morning at 6:30. At libertytalkradio.com, and we will have a phone line where you can call in, and that number will be 646-652-1220. 4620, and that'll be Thursday morning, and we'll talk about how free banking can resolve the issues that we have today, but it would restructure everything in government as we know it. Okay. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranchagos Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. Let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Or phone in your questions to area code 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.